The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is Praise is What I Do, Part 2. Praise is What I Do, Part 2, April 21st, 2013. Wow. Christmas is only 8 short months away. They're going, I don't want to think about that. Praise is what I do. That's what we should be doing. And this morning I want to continue on that theme of praise. Because when I don't know what to do, all I can do is praise Him. And I thought about what happened in Boston on Monday. And I was actually with a customer having lunch who was from Boston. And he was in town. And we had lunch, and then this incident happened. And all I could do is praise God. Not for what had happened, but Lord, I praise God that even in this storm, that there's going to be some that I'd be drawn to. Even in this rough time, even in this place, Lord God, where these bombs are going off and chaos is going and lives are being lost, Lord, I'm still going to praise you because, Lord God, you're going to turn this thing, what was meant for harm, into something good. Somehow, some way, Lord God, it's going to turn your people's head from the sand of what they've been placing it into, Lord, and lift it out of the sand and start to find out the reason why we're having so many problems and issues is because we don't praise God no more. We don't pray anymore. We've taken them out. We've allowed all these other things to enter in, and then we're wondering why we're having so much problem. See, it's important that you and I establish a lifestyle of praise. See, praise propels you beyond your problem and your concerns and your issues. It pushes you beyond what your circumstances are today. That's why you praise Him. I go through things on a daily basis, and what I need to do is I need to praise Him even in the midst of the storm. Not that He caused the issues, but I got to praise through it so that I can get to the other side. When you praise God, you acknowledge Him and all His goodness. God is all goodness. He doesn't do something to teach you a lesson. He's there to help you and to get you beyond where you're at. And see, what the devil does is he causes you these problems and these concerns and these problems so that what happens is that you get your mind set off of what God wants you to do and you get sidetracked with all these issues and concerns. Think about how much time was lost because of this bombing. How many people weren't focused on their job. And I mean, this is just like the devil. How many people had to be locked up in their houses on Friday till they caught the last young man. And people say, oh, he should get the death penalty. Not until he gets to know Jesus. That means we got to fly out and get him saved beforehand. It's all good. But not even one should perish without knowing Jesus. And the devil uses these tactics to get us off focus. But when you praise God, it gets you back on track. It gets you in alignment with what God is. Praise resets the clock and gives you a fresh outlook. Whatever you think about the most, whatever you're dwelling about the most, is the direction that your life will go in. That's why I tried to have to turn off the CNN and the Fox Network and all, because it was getting to be so much overload, I couldn't take it anymore. And all I could do is I said, Lord, instead of spending that time listening to the news, maybe I should just praise you. Maybe I should just worship you. Maybe I should just pray and call on your name that eyes would be open to understanding who you are. And the reason why these things are happening is because it's an evil spirit that got on somebody that went and did something evil. Praise is what we do or what we're going to do when we're in heaven with Jesus. We might as well learn how to do it now so when we get there, we don't go, huh? What am I supposed to do? Like your first day on the job. What am I supposed to do? No, God wants you to already have the answer. Amen? It's important that our praise be genuine or a genuine expression of our love and appreciation, not just a performance to get God to move on something. Praise is a powerful part of our faith walk. It strengthens us and it paralyzes the enemy. See, when you praise Him, your faith level begins to increase because your doubt that was in you begins to fade away. Amen? So we're going to see what the Word has to say this morning. We're going to look at the same scripture we did last week, kind of like the foundation scripture in Psalms 34:1. And I want you to get this morning, because even that we're dealing with things, even though we see the world going through some stuff, we can still praise Him. Amen? Not praise Him just because we got some stuff going our way, but we can praise Him even in the midst of the storms. Amen? So Psalms 34:1 says this: I will praise the Lord at some times when I'm feeling like it. Right? I will praise the Lord when everything's going great for Pastor Jeff. Right? I only praise Him when I'm having a tough day. Right? I don't praise Him just because I'm having a mediocre week. I will praise the Lord at all times, which leaves no other times to play around with. All the time we should be praising Him. Well, there was a bomb that went off, I'm still going to praise Him. They just repossessed my car, I'm still going to praise Him. I guess I'm going to get into an exercise plan now. I'll be walking everywhere I went. You're going to praise Him even when your checkbook isn't balancing out correctly and there's more month than there is money. Still going to praise Him. His praise shall continually be on my mouth or my lips. He's continually, I'm going to be praising Him. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us all exalt His name together. I'm going to praise Him even in the midst of my storm. I'm going to even praise Him if it's not good weather. I'm even going to praise Him when I had to travel to Michigan and my body was aching because of the rain. I'm still going to praise Him. Didn't want to. Let me tell you, I didn't want to. But I'm going to praise Him. We said something last week that there were three key benefits to praise. And we said that praise builds our faith. Praise defeats the devil. And praise ministers to God. You can minister to God through your praises. God wants to hear from you all the time. You know, God's always talking to us all the time. And a lot of times we have falls on deaf ears because we're not listening. See, praise brings everything to a point of completion. You might want to write that down. Praise brings everything to a point of completion because God inhabits our praises. God is a God that when you praise Him, He shows up. Amen? I'm no longer alone. I'm no longer in this meeting with a customer who's irate. He might be upset, but he doesn't realize God's on my side. Take a look at Matthew 21, verse 15. Matthew 21, verse 15. The New King James Version of the Bible says it this way: But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, that's Jesus, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to Him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never heard, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Then He left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and He lodged there. Take a look at Psalms 8:2. We'll reinforce this. Psalms 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When you praise Him, When you praise Him, you shut the devil's mouth on your circumstance and situation. When you praise Him, life begins to change because you're no longer doing it your way, but you're doing it God's way. The only power the enemy has to you is suggestion, because Jesus already won the spiritual battle. All you have to do is get in alignment with it. All you got to do is praise Him through the storms of life. Now you and I, we're going to fight some spiritual battles. But most of the battles we fight are in our mindset. And Satan, what he's trying to do is he's trying to attack your thinking. And if he can get your thinking off track, he can get you off track. Praise helps you stay on track. I don't know if you've ever seen a train wreck, but when a train goes off track, it's not good. It causes a lot of chaos and damage. The way you keep your train on track is continue to praise Him. See, our praise is our strength. Oh, Pastor, but I don't even have strength to praise Him. I know, I don't have strength to praise Him sometimes either, but you've got to muster it up and start to praise Him. Because when you start to praise Him, you start taking your mind off of your circumstances and situation and putting it on His. When you put things on Jesus' shoulders, He can carry them a lot farther than you can. Amen? When you praise God, we push away the hurt, the bondage, and the oppression of the enemy. Praise opens our hearts and prepares us to receive from God. When we praise Him. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like praising Him. There's many times I don't feel like praising Him either. There's mornings I wake up and I'm like, I don't want to praise Him. I'm tired. I don't want to praise Him when I go to bed. I'm all wiped out. I had a 12-hour day. I had a week of Mondays last week. Every day was a Monday. Every day was 10 or 12 hours long. But what I praised Him because I still got a job. I praised Him that I still have favor in the workplace. I praise Him, why? Because of who He is and what He's done for me. I praised Him even though we heard the bad reports in Boston. I'm still going to praise Him even when that plant blows up and 14 people lose their lives. Still going to praise Him. Not going to do it because I'm having people look at me when I'm praising Him. I'm praising Him because I love Him. He's the one with the answer. He's the one who can only change the situation. I can't. I love that the president came on TV to address the issues. But he can't change it. Congress can't change it. The police officers can't change it. The FBI can't change it. You know who can change it? Jesus. Us Christians can change it by getting on our knees and praying. And building up an atmosphere so that evil can't reside. Don't be surprised when they blow something up here in Las Vegas and more thousands lose their lives. Because where evil is, there's a presence there. We have to bust through that. Oh, Pastor, you're crazy. No. Those boys got influenced by the devil somehow, some way, and carried out what the devil wanted to carry out. I wonder if anyone ever shared it with them about Jesus. Just wonder. Maybe we were too busy doing our own thing and not being a voice for God. Just something to think about. Remember Paul and Silas? Remember they were whipped and they were thrown into prison? There's something that they did, and I was looking at that. They sincerely, in their whole being, affectionately praised God. So even though they were whooped, they affectionately praised God. The reason why they got whooped and picked on is because they were about Jesus' business. So if they're going to be picked on, I know I'm going to get picked on. I know people are going to talk about me. Let them talk. Let them arrest me. put me in the inner cell. Probably get my singing voice when I'm there. Take a look at Acts 16, verse 24. New King James Version. Acts 16, verse 24. We'll read a little bit. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. That's after they got a whooping. But at midnight. So you can throw everything that was before that butt right out the door. But at midnight. Midnight represents a new day, a new beginning, a fresh start. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. There was a bomb that went off at the race, yet Paul and Silas were there praising and worshiping God. There's a tragedy that takes place, but Paul and Silas were there. God's calling you and I to be there. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising Him. I don't know about you, but my flesh would say, I probably don't want to praise Him. I just got whooped. I got stripes on my back. I got spat on, kicked on, made fun of. I'm strapped now. I'm chained up. Last thing I probably want to do is praise Him. Think about it. Be real. I probably wouldn't want to praise Him. Lord, I'm out doing Your will. I'm doing Your work, and I find myself in this predicament. How in the heck does this happen? But Paul and Silas were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. People are listening to you, even though you don't realize they are. And you're going through and catching hell right now, and people are listening to what you're saying. And people should be saying, I can't believe they're responding in this fashion because I know what they're going through. Yet they still praise God. They got diagnosed with this disease, or they got this going on, or they're about to foreclose on their house, but they're still praising God. How could they do that? Because they're a Christian. Because there's other people connected to you that you don't realize are listening to how you're going to react. Is your God really that big? Oh, but in the time of trouble, you're gonna, you know, run from Him. And then in verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. God wants us to praise Him so that He can shake the very foundation of people's lives so that they'll be drawn to Him. But if no one, being Christians, aren't praising Him and praising Him and praising Him, even that they're going through things, then the walls of the world cannot be shaken. People are hearing what we're doing, but they're not. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for you and I to continue to praise Him, even when we're getting pressed to the max. He wants someone to praise Him so that God can suddenly, the suddenlies in our lives, shake some foundations. I can't believe that this was happening, but boy, now. You had a mass on my lungs, but suddenly I was still praising Him through my circumstance. And people were listening and watching, and doctors' reports were saying, but suddenly the thing that was locking me up and held me down was loosed. I'm humping somebody this morning. So that the foundations of the prison, the foundations of the things that have been holding you back, the things that you bought into that were a lie, the foundation that you built your life on, is now crumbled. People that were serving Muhammad, their foundation is starting to be crumbled. And a new foundation has to be poured. But that won't happen unless we praise God so God can shake the walls and loosen them from what they're thinking. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But, here you go again, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. People are going to tremble and fall before you when you praise God, because you have the answer. They're going to see that your God is a real God. He's the only God. He's the live God. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. They all got saved. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Instead of being depressed and despondent about their situation, Paul and Silas got excited because they knew that Jesus was going to show up. So they praised God so loud that other prisoners heard them. Now, I don't know about you, but what are people hearing us say? Are we praising him even in the midst of our storm, our trials? Because praise is what we're supposed to do. And then suddenly there was an earthquake and the prison's doors opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And I thought, that's pretty cool. God showed up. They all heard them praising God, worshiping God, lifting up the name. Even though they were strapped and confined, they still praised him. They didn't duct tape their mouth. They still had breath in their lungs to praise him. They were tired. They were beaten. They were weary. They were bloodied up. But they could still praise him. See, our praise can greatly impact others around us because God inhabits our praises. God inhabits the praises of his people. God wants to show up and shine out. And I thought about this for a little bit more. When the Bible talked about their chains being loosed and the foundation being shaken, I would be running out of that place as fast as I could get out of there if I was a prisoner. Knowing I was guilty, I would run fast. I would put on my Reeboks and I would do whatever I need to do to get out of there. But instead of seizing their chance to escape, the prisoners stayed there and they enjoyed the presence of God. Think about that. You could have bolted from the situation, but the presence of God was so thick you just wanted to stay. I know I'm guilty of murder. I know I'm guilty of this. I know I'm guilty. But I ain't leaving because there's something. But when those boys praise God and suddenly everything shook and everything's open, I don't want to leave because I don't want to get out of the presence of God. We can find comfort in praising God. When we praise, when our praise is genuine, we get lost in his presence and a true experience of joy, strength, and deliverance take place. That's what was happening in that jail cell. No one wanted to leave because they knew, they felt the presence of God. Even the prison guard was affected by the prayers and praise of Paul and Silas. And after that experience, he wanted to be saved. See, when our praises are authentic, people are drawn to Jesus because of it. You know, we praised the FBI for what they did, and we praised the police officers for what they've done, and if they do it, they've done a great job. And I was hoping, and I was praying, and I was believing that somehow, somewhere in the midst of all these conversations and all these people out there, that they would have thanked God. But I didn't hear a mention of Jesus. I didn't hear a mention of God. I didn't hear a mention of, oh, you know, we got to change. And not one word. I mean, I listened to it on the Fox Network and CNN and the radio, and not one person said, I thank God that we caught these men. I thank God that we had the intelligence to get them. What went wrong with this man, we're going to find out, but there's a presence of evil that took place, and we got to do something to change the heart of man. How do we do that but praise Him? See, praise will shift the atmosphere at your job, your home, your school, while you're driving in your car. When your praise is authentic, people are drawn to it. When I see people in their car and they got their music jacked up real loud and they got a good praise or worship song that I can identify with, I have to wave to them and beat the horn. That's a great song, man. Praise God. But you're drawn to the praises of God. Because God's going to shift the atmosphere. And I'm believing and I'm praying today and I'm standing on the word that somehow, some way, that those people in Boston, people across the world that has been watching this day and night for 5 or 6 days will see clear of all the dust and the debris and the issues and the loss and look to Jesus, who's the answer. There are benefits to praising God. It builds our faith. It defeats the devil and it ministers to God. And when we praise and worship God, we shift our thinking from His promises, from our thinking, from the promises we had, to His promises. It moves us from away from our problems and our concerns to His way of doing things. Praise brings everything to a point of completion. God inhabits the praises of His people. Praise is our strength. That's where we get our strength. And when we praise Him, we push away the hurt, the bondage, the oppression of the enemy. And praise opens our heart to be prepared to receive all things from God. God will give you wisdom when you praise Him. God will give you an answer when you're going through something. But you got to praise Him. Praise can greatly impact those that are around you because God inhabits the praise. When God inhabits the praise, that means He's there. Something's about to change. Nothing can remain the same. When your praise is authentic, people are drawn to it. They want what you have. Praise will change your circumstances and restore whatever you've lost. Praise is what we do. Praise is our part of our DNA. Praise is what we should be doing no matter what we're going through. Didn't say praise should be on our lips all the time or just once in a while? Just once a week on Sunday. Right? Isn't that what Scripture said in Psalm 34:1? That's what I thought it said. Yeah, that's what it said. I will bless the Lord just on Sunday. And my praise shall be once in a while on my lips, just from Sunday from 10 to noon. Not going to praise Him at work. Not going to praise Him while I'm driving in the car when the car should have ran me over. But didn't. stepping on some toes. Praise humbles you. Praise puts you in a position of power and strength. I don't know about you, but when I'm not feeling good and I start to praise Him, I start to feel a little bit better. We praise ball players. We praise, you know, the celebrities. But we leave out praising Jesus. I won this country award today, but forgot to praise Jesus. And He gave me the vocal cords to be able to sing so that I could get in front of y'all and praise Him. I won this NBA title because I got 18 baskets and won the game, but I won't praise God. I did it on my own accord. Really? God didn't make you 7'2" and be able to jump 3 feet high? Oh, I guess God wasn't involved in that. He was just the creator of it all. Our schools are falling apart, and more people in jail and prison, but let's keep on taking Jesus out. They haven't figured out the ingredients are taken out. It's the thing that they need to make sure the pie tastes good. Because the pie they're eating right now is trying to make them a little humble, and they haven't figured it out yet. The pie they're eating has got a sour taste, and they haven't figured out, hey, there's no sugar in it. Well, Jesus is sweet. They're getting their fill of everything but Jesus. God wants to shift us and change us and bold, make us bold and strong. He wants us to be more like Him and less like the world. Yesterday when I went on the strip to see my friend who I haven't seen for 22 years, there's a lot of junk that goes along on that strip. There's a lot of crazy people. But I praise Him that we're in the middle of it because we can change it. I can praise Him no matter what's going on. I can praise Him when I'm sick. I can praise Him when I'm well. I can praise Him when I got money, and I can praise Him when I ain't got no money. I can praise Him that I've got family still alive and they're still with me. Instead of looking at the negative side of everything, we can praise Him. I praise Him that the circumstances and situations that happen in Boston, that it will lead people to Jesus. That they'll understand there's some radical stuff going on and the devil's been spearheading it. But it's our responsibility to praise God and turn that power play and stump on the devil. Who would possess someone to do what they did? The devil. They said it. They didn't even get the words to say. What would possess these young men to do what they did? Because they were possessed of the devil. That's why they did what they did. They were willing to lose their life and spend eternity in hell. Because we pulled Jesus out of everything else along the way. I chuckled for a moment as they had a video footage of all these men at a mosque praying. I kind of chuckled in a way as they were in fear of God, of the retaliation of what man might do, thinking it was once again a terrorist attack. They were on their knees praying to someone that can't hear Him. But they had the right position on their knees. I can learn something from somebody who really doesn't know the truth, but they're trying real hard. And whatever they were doing, maybe we ought to be doing. Maybe we ought to be praying 5 times a day. I don't need no bell. I don't need no gong. I don't need any of that call to prayer thing they got, and I don't have to lay out my mat and fly around like Sinbad. But maybe I need to be praying 5 times a day to my God that hears me. Maybe that continual praise should be on my lips, like the Bible says. Maybe as Christians we can learn something from those that don't know the whole truth. But the whole truth will set you free. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to close and we're going to sing a song this morning before we go. That nothing remains the same. When you get Jesus, nothing remains the same. It can't. Something changes. Your old stuff gets pushed aside. You go from doing this to going to doing that. I thought about my brother this morning. Just got another grandbaby. Now he's got two, and he's a proud grandpa. And I looked at all his kids that when we were at the wedding, all serving Jesus. And I knew my brother before Christ. That's BC. But then there was a suddenly, and we're thinking, help this boy out, man. We got to go get him out of that cult that he's in. But he had an experience like Paul and Silas. He had a shift in the atmosphere. He had something that an experience that he could never be the same. He went from doing chaotic things to doing things for Jesus. He went from carrying his book of craziness to carrying the book of the word that lined him out. It was a suddenly. The shackles and his foundation that he had was destroyed. No longer was he holding on or held back by anything that he used to be like. Now he's something new. And he never looked back. He only looked forward and upwards. Five kids later, y'all serving Jesus. Got more money than he needs. Blessed and highly favored. Still changing and impacting people's lives. He had a suddenly experience. He had a Paul and Silas. He went through some hell. We gave it to him. But he praised them even in the midst of our stupidity. Even in the midst of us saying he's whacked. Even in the midst of he still loved us and prayed and praised God until we got it. Because you might not get it now, but you're going to get it. I was speaking in tongues, but I wasn't using the language of God. The world's doing the same thing. They're speaking in some kind of language. They're mad, they're upset, they're hurt, they're wounded. Yet they still won't succumb. But guess what? If we begin to praise God, if we begin to start shifting the atmosphere of who we're connected to, those people around us are going to shift, and they're going to change. And the circle's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.